Welcome to the podcast. It's Pat and Stu in for Glenn today. Jeffy joins us as well to give us some of his nonsensical view of the world. Thank you for that,
You're
Jeffy.
Welcome. No problem. Let me just quote him to give you a preview. Spoons.
Yes, he did say that at one point.
Yeah, it was really good.
We have a fascinating story about a model who made some comments and about transgender issues. And that's all I'm going to give you for now. You need to hear how that story plays out, because it's quite a roller coaster ride. We also have the debates going on tonight, so we're going to preview the debates, what's going on with all these crazy candidates, what are their plans. We got a lot of that on today's program, because it's insane, even what the moderates are proposing, supposedly, on stage. And we have more about Baltimore, which apparently is the greatest place on earth. Everyone loves Baltimore. Not a single
rat
has ever even been there.
So
and that's because of Donald Trump's racism. Into the latest developments on that story as well. Check it out. By the way, if you want to watch the Ilhan Omar special from Glenn, you can still get $20 off. They've extended this thing. So go to blazetv.com and use the code GLENN20. You can watch the entire special. And you can see, I think there's a pretty good chunk of it on YouTube, too, if you want to just check out some of the meat of it. It's pretty good as well on Glenn's YouTube page. Check that out, and let's check out the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Tonight is another big debate night, which sadly means we have to watch it.
Woo!
So you don't have to.
I will be live tweeting it at World of Stew.
Wonderful.
I know you will be live tweeting it as well at Pat Unleashed.
All over it at Pat Unleashed.
And when I say
Twitter,
live tweeting it, your Twitter account will be live for people
yes.
to follow.
Yes.
Mine will. I will be filling your feed with nonsensical observations about the debate, because it's the only way I can get through it. And it does help me for the next day to remember what the hell happened.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly I'll be making fun of the candidates. That's tends to be the way this goes.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is, of course, they're all terrible.
That's a true statement. They really are. So you have from the outside going in, Marianne Williamson, because she's got, 0%?
She's at 0 or 1. She hits 1 sometimes.
Okay.
Williamson is interesting in that she's kind of the crazy one. Yeah, she's the one that said she was going to politicize love and take on Donald Trump based on love.
Okay.
Which I don't know if that means she's hitting on him. I don't know what that means exactly. But
she doesn't seem to be saying loving things about him.
No.
I mean, not even close.
No. But she's like the Pat Benatar candidate. She's the love is a battlefield candidate.
Right.
You
okay.
know? And she comes out and she's going to say, she's going to take it to the political battlefield with love. And the thing that you like about Marianne Williamson, and the reason why there's even Republicans.
Is there something I like about her?
Oh, yeah, you do.
Oh, okay.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the debates, you do. Because she's nuts. So it's fun
to watch her.
If she's like the entertainment of these things. There's a reason why some Republicans are even donating to her, because they want to get her in future debates. Like, there's actual movement of people donating $1 to her.
That's funny.
Which sounds like a good idea, and it's funny, until you get signed up to every Democratic donor list.
Yeah, then no.
And then you're not going to like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I will tell you, it's not going to help, because she's going to be able to get plenty of donors. Her issue is going to be whether she can get the polling to come through.
Which she's not going to be able to. 2%
is going to be... So it's a tough road.
She's going to have to be on Oprah every single day.
Yes.
In order to get 2%. Then you got Tim Ryan. Nobody knows who he is or where he comes from.
Ohio,
nobody cares.
Yeah, Ohio congressman had a really bad first debate. So he is, I would say he's, if he makes it to the next one, I'll be surprised.
Me too. Amy Klobuchar, might be time for her to leave too, because she's getting no traction.
She really isn't. I mean, she should qualify for the next round of debates. She can hit 2% here and there, but really not catching fire. She's in one of those moments, Pat, where you're like, she's enough of a candidate that has a chance, I think, to make noise that there's a temptation to get desperate. Right, there's a temptation to throw out a crazy policy, a newsmaker, to go on the attack against someone to try to get a viral video. But she's probably better served doing what she's doing, honestly, and hoping for the Biden VP slot, which is legitimately realistic with her. So stay back. You know, she's Midwest. That's where they need to win.
I would think Kamala Harris has a better shot at that than she does.
She may have a better shot. But Kamala Harris also might win the nomination.
Yeah, maybe.
And I can't imagine. I mean, look, we've seen this with George H.W. Bush and Ronald Reagan, where sometimes they do pick the big rival.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Is Joe Biden, after getting, you know, beat up by Kamala Harris in that first debate, can they patch it back up together for a VP slot situation? Possibly, but I don't know. I don't know that she's the lead candidate at this point. Klobuchar is like, you know, she's from the Midwest, female candidate, obviously. She has an excellent history when it comes to, you know, elections. I mean, has her record as far as winning is very strong. She's done very well in Minnesota. And this is, of course, the area where, you know, the Hillary thing kind of, you know, I mean, Minnesota's right in that. I mean, they lost Michigan. They lost Wisconsin. They lost, you know, Pennsylvania, Ohio. Those are the states they need to win. Mm-hmm. She kind of fits that profile a little bit. She does seem to fall into that. But if she gets desperate and tries, like, you know what, I think everybody gets a puppy, that might make news for a week. It's not going to win her the election. And then she becomes a joke. She has to make sure she doesn't cross that line.
Mm-hmm. We get into the inner kind of area now.
The innards?
Yeah. Where you're in the middle of the stage or mm-hmm. getting close to it. Pete Buttigieg is going to be right next to Bernie.
That one's going to be... So that... I mean... Bernie and Buttigieg are both in a kind of similar situation in that they...
I feel like Buttigieg has kind of cooled off now.
Yeah. I think the it's fizzled a little bit.
The shine is sort of off him now, just like it came off Beto. And that guy, he can't buy any attention.
No. He's in this debate tonight, too.
Yeah, he is.
And he cannot. He's in a lot of trouble.
I think he's done.
He's become the joke of the campaign.
Yeah.
And which, you know, if he can't figure out a way to turn this around at some level and at least get back to respectability.
Did you see the thing he's walking through an airport, and I can't remember which airport it was, but some people are congratulating him. Did you see that video?
No.
He's walking through the video and this woman screams, "Hey, Beto, congratulations." And he raises his hand and smiles and he's all happy that somebody recognized him. "Congratulations on your 0%. And then you see his face go bump, just falls, and he walks out the door, puts his arm down. Yeah, okay. I thought that was going to be something nice, and it turned out to be ugly.
He should have suspected it
at this point. He should have.
Yeah, no, it's not going well for Beto. So... Beto, it's a big night for Beto, right? He needs to figure out a way to make some sort of noise and just not be an embarrassment. He can't get destroyed by someone else. He needs to make news. Buttigieg is in that weird position where, I mean, the fundraising has been fantastic. He has the most fun. He's basically leading the league in fundraising at this time. But the polling is not keeping up with it.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Last quarter, I think it was $25 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 26 million and 25 million, and then Biden was at 24 or something.
Yeah, Biden was a little bit behind with a little bit less time.
But Joe Biden is behind Mayor Pete?
Right.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And so his fundraising is great.
Yeah.
His name recognition is still pretty low outside of these early states. You know, he has a chance to grow. The big issue with Mayor Pete, and I you know, this is, can we get it? This is a little delicate. Can we have an adult conversation about something, Pat?
I hope so, Stu. I hope so.
I just don't know if the American people can handle an adult conversation. Here's the thing with Mayor Pete. No black people will vote for him. He is continually getting 0% African American vote.
So we're going to finally have the conversation on race?
Because I think...
good, because we need to have a conversation on race.
Pat.
And in this country, we just never have.
No, we will not do it.
Let's finally have a conversation on race.
People just don't notice it. You know, and that's the big problem. They don't focus on it enough. It's interesting, though, because the other Democratic candidates, you look at their crosstabs, like the different categories as you know, white, male, female, moderate, liberal, black, white, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Most of the candidates are pretty consistent across the board there. You know, you see the Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden and Cory Booker. You know, maybe Cory Booker does a little bit better with African Americans, and you know, Elizabeth Warren does a little bit better with the Cherokee tribe. But they all have, they're all pretty much the same. Not Mayor Pete. Mayor Pete is pretty consistent across the board, and then a big fat zilch when it comes to African-American voters.
Really?
How do you win a Democratic primary with a zero?
Has that happened since the controversy in South Bend over
That's interesting. It could be part of
the
that.
Police situation.
Do the American people, though, really know much about that particular incident?
I don't think so.
Right. It's, you know, I think you go back to looking at, and I wonder if this is a part of it, and some analysts have made this case. If you go back and look at, let's say, the gay marriage constitutional ban in California, what you found there is that African-Americans voted at a higher percentage with the conservative side of that argument, the right. ban of gay marriage, yeah. than did whites. It was one of those situations where the black vote kind of led the charge on the ban of gay marriage in California. And you sign it. There's a giant, I think, split among the Democratic voters between this sort of white, woke, liberal voter mm-hmm. who is the person who wants, you know, transgendered people in every bathroom, as opposed to the black Democratic voter who's much more conservative culturally.
Yeah.
Like it's a different, there's yeah. a different profile there. And for whatever reason, it could be what you were talking about. There was the police incident with Mayor Pete. Could be that they just don't know him. Could, because, you know, South Carolina, you know, you're going to, that's your third state, and it's really the first time the African-American vote shows up in large numbers. It could be that. But it is interesting to see that that plays out, because it's not playing out with other white candidates. It's just Mayor Pete with the big fat zilch. He's wow. the one who stands out of this pack with African-American voters. And if he does not, Bernie has a little bit of that going on, and it hurt him against Hillary last time. But it's something that if he does not solve that, he has zero chance to win this nomination. He has to figure out a way
right.
to get African-Americans to vote for him.
So next to Buttigieg, as we mentioned, Bernie Sanders, right in the middle.
114 years old.
Yeah.
He mm-hmm. is. Now, he has a
curmudgeon socialist.
A reported truce, a non-aggression pact with the woman standing next to him in this debate, Elizabeth Warren.
Really?
Yes. Because they're both basically socialists, right? Elizabeth likes to say
absolutely.
That she's not,
right.
But they all have the same policies, and they compete to see who mm-hmm. can be more liberal on the policies. Bernie is, I would give him points for at least admitting it.
You know, yeah.
I think that's better than yeah. the Elizabeth Warren approach,
is.
Which is lying to the people and saying you're not a socialist.
And then you have the exact same policies as the socialist.
Yeah.
It's just dishonest.
Yes,
it's just a lie.
I totally agree
flat
with that.
Flat out lie.
Be honest about it.
Yeah.
Say the truth.
Yeah.
And
why not? They're all doing that now. You know, that when they're democratic socialists, they usually come out and just say, I'm a democratic socialist.
Yeah. And you're seeing this, you know, when you look at these candidates, what would these sort of far left wing policies that they're going after? Because Medicare for all, right? If you say it in the terms of Medicare for all who want it, right? You're not outlawing private insurance, you're just letting people choose a public option if they wish, right?
Right. That's nonsense.
That, to me, of course, is nonsense. But generally
speaking,
and
they tried that one already on us. If right. you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan.
If we fall for that again.
Oh, my gosh.
Embarrassing. Especially from the same person, Joe Biden.
Right.
Who was pitching it last time. But that policy, generally speaking, is relatively popular. It's popular among Democrats, very popular among Democrats. And mm-hmm. the voters as a whole say, well, I guess if I can just have an extra choice, I want it. Now, that's a terrible policy, and obviously I disagree with it, but that is moderately popular. What's not popular is outlawing private insurance. What's not popular is giving universal health care to illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. These things are vastly unpopular policies, and everybody on stage is embracing them because they're all trying to race each other to the left. I think it was, I think last time they actually asked the hand raise question, hey, who would give free health care to illegal immigrants? All the candidates raised their hand. All of them.
Yeah.
So, and that's why, by the way, you'll notice they've outlawed the hand raising question now.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they're not doing it anymore because they don't like to be put in these box of actually having to take an opinion. Because, you know,
wow.
if you have a long answer, you can always work your way out of it later.
Uh-huh.
If you raise your hand, it's a lot tougher. Uh-huh. Only Kamala Harris tries that. She'll raise her hand and then say the next day she doesn't believe in the policy. But no one else is really ballsy enough to try that. So it's going to be interesting to see if that type of moment happens. Because if Warren and Sanders are on that front of basically saying, look, no more private insurance, this is a policy that even Democrats don't approve of. So they're going to go so far left to win this nomination. Can they come back anywhere close to the middle to try to beat Donald Trump in a general election? It's going to be really difficult.
We're only 60% of the way through this list of 317 candidates on stage tonight. We'll sum up the last remaining 40%. Round two of the debates tonight.
Round 2A.
Because it's the first night of round two.
And in debate 2A, they will all oppose 2A, the Second Amendment. That's a totally different thing. But yes, 2A, and then we'll have 2B, and then there will be a third round where it gets a lot harder to get into the debate. So this could very well be the last time you see so many of these smiling faces.
There's also something really agonizing on the way, and that's a climate change town hall that's coming up on September 4th.
Oh, they are doing that,
with
huh?
all that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Won't that be great?
Now, is that the next? That's not the next round of debates.
It's before the next round of debates. So they're not considering it a debate because everybody's on the same side of that. So
socialism.
Yes. So far, we've talked to Marianne Williamson, Tim Ryan, Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg. Then you got Bernie Sanders in the middle with Elizabeth Warren. And just next to Elizabeth Warren will be Beto, which is kind of surprising. He still has enough juice to get next to Elizabeth Warren. And then the guy who's supposedly so moderate that he just went to porn movies with his mom when he was 18. It's a beautiful story. Brings a tear to your eye. But John Hickenlooper.
Yes. Now, Hickenlooper
has been opposing socialism, though, in the party, which I like.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the few that will actually say socialism isn't a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
That being said, and it's not a coincidence, his campaign is completely falling apart. He's had all these advisors leave. He has not polled well anyway.
Well, he's not extreme enough.
No, right? I just don't think there's a place for somebody like this.
There's not.
We all know that Joe Biden is there. And Joe Biden is not a moderate in any way. He's a moderate if you go like back to 1989 and then the Soviet Union. He's a moderate, right? Like, but he's not a moderate. He is a hardcore liberal. He's just an old school liberal that will at least acknowledge capitalism occasionally. He's a union Democrat, but that's a far left figure.
Well, we forget that he was the most liberal senator in the Senate. When he became vice president for Barack Obama.
And now the question is, can he hold the nomination because he's too moderate? That's how far the left has gone in such a short time.
Amazing.
It's incredible.
Really amazing.
But Hickenlooper is at least positioning himself in that wing. He's not actually a moderate either. I mean, look at his Second Amendment history. I mean, he is a problem. Though, I mean, you know, he's as close as you're going to get to a moderate Democrat in the field, with the exception of the guy standing next to him, John Delaney, perhaps, who's kind of a businessman. It's funny, this whole side of the debate stage, which is John Hickenlooper, next to him, John Delaney, next to him, Steve Bullock, are arguably the three most moderate candidates in the entire field.
Mm-hmm.
They're all standing kind of far to the right, and how all are at 0%. So I don't know what exactly that says about the Democratic field, but you can't win the Democratic nomination at this point saying things like, you know, socialism is bad. You know, John Delaney said, hey, you know, Medicare for all is just bad policy. It doesn't work. And we're going to lose the election if we try to embrace that. And he's booed. He says socialism is bad. He's booed.
Yeah.
In this field.
Yeah. Bullock, he's also a guy who's funding his own campaign.
Yeah. So
which I kind of respect.
And a little bit more potential than some of these other people, you know, like a John Hickenlooper who has no chance and no money.
Yeah.
He at least has money.
Yeah.
Which does at least, you know, he's hired decent advisors. He has a ground game in Iowa. He's Iowa or bust 100%. I mean, Delaney's been in the field for a long time. He's the first candidate that announced. He's been to every county in Iowa. He's done that sort of thing. It has not worked. But he does usually show up in Iowa polls.
When you're a low-profile governor of Montana, how do you even think, hey, I got a shot at this. I'm gonna run for president. I got a real shot.
Well, his argument is, I won a Trump state, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and
I guess.
He got in very late. This is his first time. He was not on the stage last time, so he's one of the things. He's the only new face out of this field. So in some ways, you could find that to be interesting if you're a real nerd.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know Montana. You're from Montana. Mm-hmm. Does Steve Bullock going to be dynamic enough to win this nomination?
No.
I don't think
you
so.
You just said, you're just going to frankly say no with no qualifiers?
Way out on that limb.
Wow.
Now, it might break from right out from under me, but I'm willing to get out there.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to tell you about something that you should either end your day with or start your morning with, and that is The News and Why It Matters. If you like this show, you're going to love The News and Why It Matters. It's a bunch of us that all get together at the end of the day and just talk about the stories that matter to you and your life. The News and Why It Matters. Look for it now wherever you download your favorite podcast.
Pat, I want to tell you the story of Carissa Pinkston.
Oh, I've been waiting to hear Carissa's story for some time now. Yeah.
I think you'll enjoy it. Okay, so Carissa's a model, okay? Mm-hmm. She's a 20-year-old model. And she's done something in this society you cannot do. She's participated in a banned activity, which is she has discussed her opinion on transgendered issues.
She has decided. Unless it's, she thinks, like 5-year-olds should decide to change their gender, then she should be in prison.
Well, that would be okay, but that you can't say it's an opinion. It's only a fact.
Oh, okay.
Okay. If you say it's your opinion, then you're actually on the wrong side of it, even if your opinion aligns with others.
Okay.
This is just science.
Right.
Science is that 5-year-olds should be changing their gender, you know, a couple times a week.
Yeah.
That's science. Okay.
We had a story, by the way. Maybe we should touch on that later. About parents who allowed their kids at 5 to switch genders. So they had one boy who switched to a girl and a girl who switched to a boy. And now they're 11 and 7. And so...
it's going to be...
Yeah, it's scientific.
I will say like there's going to be some interesting episodes of like Dateline in 20 years.
That's for sure.
When these kids are like, what the hell, Mom?
Yeah, I was 5. I didn't know. Right.
I wanted to jump off the roof with a cape on, assuming I could fly, and it won't be funny.
It'll be really tragic.
It really will be. I mean, at least for some, some it may be fine for some. I mean, we know that the medical studies, they've done a lot of research into this, obviously, and they found that people who express in their teenage years an urge to change genders and are unable to do so, we know that about 86% of them wind up later in life being fine with a gender they have. So there is a percentage.
Even in their teen years.
Yeah. So if they say, you know what, I want to be a, if they're a boy and they say, you know what, I want to be a girl. And for whatever reason, they're not able to make that transition when they're a child, like there's a sane parent around.
Mm-hmm.
Then later in life,
they're usually okay with it.
They're almost exclusively okay with the gender and they're comfortable in their bodies. Now, this is a fascinating part of this, is that a large percentage of them, a disproportionate percentage of them, wind up being either gay or lesbian. Which, like, so when you're having these surgeries early, you're legitimately giving surgery to turn L's and G's into T's. Right? Like, the people who start off, who would wind up being lesbian and gay, you're turning them into transgenders earlier than they can even make the decision. So they wind up later in life saying, you know, I'm glad I stayed where I was. And there's an overwhelming majority of these people that wind up in that, you know, package. It's just the way that it, you know, it turns out. Mm-hmm. That is science, at least at this point in our understanding of it. However, that does not get away. That does not, none of this excuses Carissa Pinkston and her actions. Okay.
Oh, no.
She came out and she apparently wrote a comment on social media in which she said, being transgender does not make you a woman. It makes you simply transgender. Now,
why the hate?
Right, why the hate, right?
Why?
That is deep hatred.
Oh.
Now, she's not, of course, saying...
That's like genocidal hatred right there.
Oh, I think it's a quote from Mein Kampf, if I remember right. I'm pretty sure it's right. Like
she took it directly from Adolf Hitler.
Yes. That's my impression.
Me too.
Now, she wrote that on Facebook. She also went on social media and said, after she got a little bit of backlash, and she's a 20-year-old model, she got a little bit of backlash on this comment. So she said, I really do want to take back my trans comment, because if they can say that they're a woman, I can reclaim my virginity. Now, probably that's okay. You probably can reclaim your virginity in our society by just saying it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are.
Well, that's how you identify. If you identify as a virgin, you're a virgin.
Yeah, probably true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, she went on again and said, it's science. Now she's crossed the hate line in a dramatic fashion.
Again, by the way, she's already crossed that line, mm-hmm. and now she's doing it again.
Okay. So 20-year-old model,
mm-hmm.
saying all these things, saying, a man and a man is a man and a woman is science. I mean, this is terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens, obviously, to her? She gets fired.
Oof.
Of course. Jeez. Because she gets fired from her modeling job. She goes on to Instagram and is crying, is very upset about what happened to her. And she says, she's crying and like sobbing, and I think she had some technical problems, so no one knew exactly what she was saying. So the next day she comes out and she makes a statement. And this is where we get all like M. Night Shyamalan twist on the story. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
She says, quote, I wasn't ready to come out about it yet, but today I got fired, and I've been receiving hate mail and death threats ever since, so I'm forced to tell the truth. I am transgender.
What?
I transitioned at a very young age, and I've lived my life as a female ever since. It's been very hard to keep this secret, but what I said about trans women is a direct reflection of my inner insecurities, and I have since come to realize that I am a woman. We all are.
We're all women?
Well, I think...
Everybody on this planet is a woman?
I think
how do
maybe
we procreate? That's strange.
Are you saying...
I'm not saying that.
No! Pat Gray just said that men cannot have children. Men cannot be pregnant. You heard it out of his mouth. I want him to get a letter writing campaign started right now, because you just let it slip that you believe men can't be pregnant. I want that noted on the record today. So
yeah.
Here's this 20-year-old model comes out and makes what are called transphobic.
Or is she just trying desperately now to get out of
this? She makes these transphobic sort of comments, gets fired, and then comes out as trans.
Yeah.
The next day, she comes out again with this comment. I apologize for my transphobic remark and every remark I've ever made towards the trans community. I panicked and thought if I came out as trans, I could somehow make things better.
No. So she's not trans?
She faked coming out as trans to try to get out of getting fired for being transphobic.
Because you could, check that.
You probably could.
Check, I think.
Well, I don't know how that works anymore.
Well,
I don't
you
know.
Get a woman or a mm-hmm. person who identifies as a woman mm-hmm. to check her womanhood.
Tell me, how does that, because you don't know how she identifies if you just check downstairs. Again, you're revealing yourself as such a hater. The only way you're going
to
get out of this.
I'm just trying to help her.
The only way.
Okay. Stu.
Yes.
I'm a trans individual.
Yes. You are.
Trans. Yes. Yeah, I transitioned.
When you were young?
When I was 12. I was 12 years old.
Because I've known you for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I've always known you as a man.
I was born a woman. And
so you are. Are we all men?
We're all men.
Okay, good.
All of us.
She says,
okay, I'm not. I just, no, but I thought it might save me. I'm not a trans person.
Okay.
I didn't transition at 12.
Okay.
But I thought maybe it would save me. Just because I got myself into trouble, according to you, and I wanted to get out of it. And so I said I was trans, but I made that up.
You're okay.
I know that surprises you, and you're disappointed now. But that's the reality.
It's like, I see dead people. Actually, no, he's right there. He's real. And he's alive. Like, that is
it's
the twist
so
here.
Weird.
It's so weird. So this is what
wow.
she said. This is her full comment. She says, I apologize for any transphobic remark I've made towards the trans community. I panicked mm-hmm. and thought if I came out as trans,
yeah.
I could somehow make things better for myself. But it appears I've only made things worse.
Yeah, huh. You think?
I'm truly sorry. I'm only 20 and I'm human. I made mistakes, but I refuse to let them define me. I hope you all can forgive me and move on from this because I'm so much more than this incident and I'm not a coward. Unfortunately, we live in a society where they will not forgive her for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? When you are 20 and she's obviously not necessarily the best decision maker, perhaps, in America. You know, she shouldn't be defined by this moment, right? Like, this shouldn't be...
No, right.
We do this constantly.
She shouldn't be fired for saying what she said. So what? She's 20.
She's 20. And first of all, her comments were not that bad.
Right.
Right. It was an opinion held by the majority of the United States.
Absolutely.
Okay? So you're gonna be firing a lot of people if you're firing people for comments like that. Mm-hmm. The vast majority... I mean, I haven't seen the polls on that specific quote that she said, but generally speaking... you're going to find that people, while accepting of those who believe they need to go through a transgendered operation or whatever, mm-hmm. you're going to find people who say, well, look, that is a person who is a male that has gone through a surgery. That is what's happened. They are now identifying that way, and, you know, we'll do what we can to help make them feel good and support them or whatever. We're not going to be mean to someone who does this, of course.
Right.
However, most people understand that, you know, look, there is a situation that goes on when you're born. You have certain parts. You have certain DNA. You have chromosomes. Mm-hmm. They kind of tell the story. Okay? Yeah. They kind of tell the story. And so that is kind of what people understand. So she didn't even say anything bad. She gets fired. She comes out as trans, which is probably not the best way to handle it. And now she's saying, okay, I'm sorry, I screwed up. Like, we shouldn't hold people and have them be defined by their worst moment when they're 20 years old.
Yeah.
Right. And like that is a very constant thing that we do these days. You've seen this, you know,
and over again.
It was one of the recent NFL drafts. They had this where one of the quarterbacks, I can't remember who it was, had comments from social media back.
Josh Allen, I think.
Okay. Well, then, when they're like
Buffalo Bills.
15 or 16 years old, where they said stuff they shouldn't have said.
They did that with a couple of guys.
Yeah. And like you try to, we're digging this up and we're going to say, here's the thing that you said.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you can't, that's not the right thing, especially at that age. I mean, not even an adult. At least this model here is 20 years old. But I mean, when you're 15, 16 years old, like basically you have immunity for doing dumb things.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, with the exception of like massive harm, like I ran over a bunch of kindergartners. You don't get immunity from that. But when you're just saying something dumb, you just get immunity from it. That's what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
We should all say anything that you did in that era. It's just... You just excuse it because you're learning the ropes. You're understanding the world. It takes time.
Which is a more interesting story. If she would have really been trans and made the transition at a very early age, or is it more interesting that she claimed to be trans and then isn't? I'm not sure which is the more fascinating story there.
At some point, we're going to get a story of one of like a, you know, someone transitions at 5 years old.
Yeah.
They turn into an adult, are pissed off about it. They become essentially what is now known as transphobic, and they will be attacked, and mm-hmm. we will find out that they're actually trans, and it's going to be a hell of a news cycle.
Yep.
It's going to be a really interesting one. I find that to be fascinating, though, because I don't know. I mean, I think like that's really probably the only way she could have... gotten out of it, right?
Yeah.
Like
if she actually would have been trans, that would have, I think, smoothed it over eventually.
And if you yell at someone, if you attack someone and get a trans person fired, are you not the one transphobic? I don't know. These are all new rules, Pat.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast.
It's been amazing the last couple of days to listen to the firestorm over Baltimore, Maryland, and whether or not it's rat infested, which it is, whether or not it's crime infested, which it definitely is. Whether or not it's run down in some parts of the city, which it absolutely is. Glenn and I lived in Baltimore for about 2 years, and it was having some problems then. They had just finished the Inner Harbor shortly before we got there. And I can't remember if they spent $1 or $2 billion on the Inner Harbor, but they were trying really hard to redevelop and make Baltimore a nice place.
But it is nice in some areas.
And some areas, it really is nice. I mean,
Camden Yards is still legendary.
Yeah, Camden Yards is great.
Yeah,
they've done some great things for their sports teams. there are some nice, obviously there's rich areas of Baltimore, just like there is rich areas of every other major city in this country.
And that's been one of the tricks they've been doing.
Yeah. They'll talk about all the rich areas.
Oh, what? Donald Trump doesn't know that there's this nice suburb that's right. part of the district?
Well, I think you can probably guess that what he was talking about was not that particular part of the city. You know, and given, and Stelter did this, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. He comes out and he's like, you know, look, he doesn't even know I'm from Maryland. And look at this. You can't even, he doesn't even know that these parts are also parts of the districts. And he shows some of the nice areas.
Of course, then, there's going to be nice parts.
Now, right. And so what you would say is, well, perhaps he watched a video, right, where he was shown the bad parts of Baltimore. And that's what he was referring to. Yeah. Now, you can excuse Brian Stelter for not knowing that, except for the fact that immediately afterwards, he shows the exact video that Trump saw, which was highlighting the inner city and the bad parts.
Wow.
So he absolutely knew what Trump was referring to, but he, like, there's this effort by the media to pretend as if they don't know what he means, so that therefore they can score a couple of extra points against him. And it's just, it's mind-numbing.
To listen to him, it sounds like Baltimore is a mixture of Disney World with Universal Studios.
Right.
That's how wonderful Baltimore is.
Plus sandals.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it...
Plus, you know, a beautiful, like the Bellagio.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's partly like the Bellagio with the fountains.
And it's going to surprise people when they go to Baltimore and they find that there's no Bellagio there. There's not too many Disney World type rides. And in some places, it's really not a lot of fun. And some of the residents have actually gone out through their neighborhood, recording what's going on in their neighborhood and showing you the blight in Baltimore, where row houses have been abandoned and falling apart for decades. And they're still there. Their trees have grown inside the building that are taller than the building. This isn't something that happened yesterday. It's been going on in Baltimore for a long time.
And it's
long, you know, time.
There are a lot of Democrat-run cities where you can find these areas. All of them.
Almost all of them.
I mean, remember when we were doing Pat and Stew here on The Blaze, we attempted to buy a home in Detroit for $3.
Right, that's right.
They had a home where you could actually, I was on sale for like $3. And we attempted to buy it, though we realized afterwards that the taxes would be so high that maybe that our budget wouldn't allow for it.
Yeah.
In fact, our budget didn't actually allow for $3 either. But it did allow for... us to pay out of our own pocket the $3. Wasn't willing to jump on the $10,000 a year taxes to own a home in the middle of nowhere in Detroit. But that's what they talk about. They're talking about raising entire areas. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Knock it all down.
Yeah.
Make it a field. Uh-huh. That's a better outcome than what we have. And
it would be.
And it would be, except for God only knows what environmental things would be released when you knock those buildings down.
True.
And there's all sorts of issues, which is why they just leave these things up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's happened in Baltimore. There are large areas. The mayor of the city is walking around. They had the video from 2018. She's like, we should just knock all this stuff down.
It also happens to be the city, the large city with the highest homicide rate in the nation. You can't argue
just
with
number
that.
One, though.
And it's just number two overall, even with small cities.
Right.
I think it's second only to the mean streets of Helena.
I don't think Helena has that sort of...
You don't think so?
No, yeah. I don't think so. But it is higher than Guatemala and Honduras.
The murder rate?
The murder
rate. In Baltimore?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 56 per 100,000.
Yeah.
That's incredibly high.
And listen to Democrats when they talk to you about Guatemala and Honduras, and they will tell you that it's so bad, people have to be allowed asylum coming across our border.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah.
People going over, across the border of Baltimore to Washington, D.C. for asylum.
Yeah.
I'm coming to Silver Spring, Maryland for asylum.
Yeah, maybe that's what we should open up that policy, because that is remember, this is what their argument is on the border. Well, you have to let these people in. They're victims of gang violence in places like Honduras, and they have to be allowed in. Well, the murder rate is worse in this city you're defending than it is in those areas.
Amazing.
Amazing.
It's amazing. And, you know, it's not like Donald Trump is the first politician to have noticed that something's amiss in Baltimore.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's happened before.
Yeah.
There was a politician back in 2015, I think.
Yeah. I think his name is Barack. Barack
Obama?
Obama? Obama? Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is.
Barack Obama, he was describing the woes of Baltimore as well. Here's what he said.
And without making any excuses for criminal activities that take place in this community, what we also know is that if you have impoverished communities that have been stripped away of opportunity, mm-hmm. where children are born into abject poverty.
Poverty.
They've got parents often because of substance abuse problems or incarceration or lack of education themselves can't do right by their kids. If it's more likely that those kids end up in jail or dead than that they go to college. In communities where there are no fathers who can provide guidance to young men.
How dare you? Oh, wow.
Communities that where there's no investment. And manufacturing has been stripped away. And drugs have flooded the community, and the drug industry ends up being the primary employer for a whole lot of folks. In those environments, if we think that we're just going to send the police to do the dirty work of containing the problems that arise there,
problem.
Without, as a nation and as a society, saying, what can we do to change those communities, to help lift up those communities and give those kids opportunity, then we're not going to solve this problem. And we'll go through the same cycles of periodic conflicts between the police and communities and the occasional riots in the streets. And everybody will feign concern until it goes away, and then we go about our business as usual.
Wow.
Bernie Sanders also toured it during the last campaign in 2016. And when he came out, he did his press conference about how Baltimore isn't like an American city. It's like he was touring a third world nation. Is that not racist to say?
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
CNN had Erin Burnett on, and apparently this has been occurring for some time. She's had a show for multiple years on CNN.
Erin Burnett?
Yeah, Erin Burnett.
Still has a show that's broadcast on television?
Yeah, it's stunning.
That's amazing.
I was amazed by it completely.
I heard there was a search party looking for her because no one had seen her in years. And then it turns up she's on... Well, no wonder we've got search parties. She's on CNN where nobody knows.
Right.
She's there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's amazing. It's amazing that this happens. So she decides... So there's always this thing that goes on in which, first of all, you start out and they say, Donald Trump is racist because he talked about Baltimore. Then people say, well, wait a minute. He talked about a city? And that makes him racist? Like, can you be a little more specific? You know, yesterday I asked, can you at least try to explain why this was a racist comment? Not just assume it because you already think Trump is a racist, which, you know, like, you can believe that all you want.
Yeah.
But what's happened is they believe he's a racist. So therefore, when he says something about, I guess, a city where some black people live, that means that he's saying it in with a racist motivation.
Well, Stu, if you use the word infested... You know what that means.
That is...
Come on now.
Their fallback position now.
It
because
is.
Once they
And he's
found,
talking about rats!
Right.
Which it is infested with rats. Rats.
Like, literally. I know you think Trump is saying some, like, coded language. He's meaning literally infested by rats, which is in the segment, by the way, which was produced by a black woman that he was watching on Fox News that inspired the tweets.
Also, I think Glenn and I have talked about when we first went to Baltimore, and we worked for a station there, B104 in Baltimore, legendary station. We went. We had to go down and get promotional photos taken. And so we went down near the Inner Harbor. And there was an alleyway that we went down and posted all over, every post, every pole, everything all over the alley. Rat infestation. Warning. Caution. Rat infestation.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it was kind of obvious by the squished rats all over the street because cars had run over them. That's how prevalent they are. They cross the street more than squirrels do in Baltimore because they outnumber people 10 to 1.
But just the 10 to 1.
Just 10 to 1.
Yeah. So this has been their fallback. Okay, so now, you know, you say he's racist. We don't have evidence of it. Now, conservatives go and they find dozens of other officials that are black, that are Democrats, that are all over across the spectrum saying the same thing about Baltimore, how bad it is, the rat infestation. So then they have to fall back to the next line, which is, well, sure, other people have said things that are bad about Baltimore, but when Donald Trump uses the word infestation, that's when he's saying he's racist. So here is Aaron Burnett's attempt at this blog comment turned into a television monologue. Listen.
And infest is a word the president often uses when it comes to black and brown people. Just the other day, telling former minority American congresswomen to go back to the crime-infested countries they came from. Infest has become sort of a trope for Trump. Here's a couple of his past tweets. This one: Democrats don't care about crime and want illegal immigrants, no matter how bad they may be, to pour into and infest our country. And of civil rights icon John Lewis, Congressman Lewis should finally focus on the burning and crime-infested inner cities of the United States.
Oh, wow.
Infest is a loaded word throughout history.
Oh, it is.
And when people defending Trump say, well, literally there are rats in Baltimore, that shows
literally
a painful willingness to look the other way.
Oh, okay.
So we're racist too all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
If you get to the bottom of what he was actually saying,
right,
and not try to extrapolate something sinister.
And it's, I will say, every time he uses the word infest, there are black people in America.
Really?
Every time
really?
There have been black people in America every time he's used infest. In fact, every time he's tweeted the word infest, there have been black people on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that's pretty devastating. By the way, she does not mention when he said that New Hampshire was a drug-infested den. Now, New Hampshire
predominantly black, like 98%, 99%?
Not quite. It's 93.9% white. Okay. But that was a drug-infested den. 93.9%
And by
white.
The way, another true statement, because it is. New Hampshire has the biggest problem with heroin, right, in the nation per capita. I believe
you may be right on that. I know they've had massive problems with
very high there.
Yeah. Opioids and such.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
The best of this John Delaney plan is still to come.
Oh, I think so.
Hopefully he'll outline this tonight, because I don't think he got around to that last debate.
No.
But this is important stuff. There's mandatory service as soon as you leave high school for at least 1 year, maybe two.
Yep. And you can serve in the Climate Corps if you want, will help you. And you just get out of high school, install some solar panels, or yell at people about sustainability.
Talk about making a difference.
Yes. Now, you will get, potentially you'll make it housing from this and a salary.
Wait, they're going to put me up in a free place?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
In some, like when you're traveling to the rural area that you have to install solar panels, they will give you housing for that.
Okay.
If you do 1 year of service, it will result in 2 years of free in-state tuition at a public university, community college, or technical school. 2 years of service will result in 3 years of free in-state tuition. Now, again, how much is this? Again, we're paying for free college, essentially. But you have to do something for the free college. Again, that's the moderate, right?
Yeah.
Like Bernie Sanders gives it to you for free.
Wow.
John Delaney says you have to mandatory service. Now, whether you want to go to college or not, you still got to do the service. But they're going to force you into government service, and you will learn skills to build future jobs. And then this is all part of his larger climate plan. Now, the larger climate plan is a bargain, as that's how I'm going to describe it right away. There's a climate crisis going on, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have to act on the climate, and we have to act now.
Well, if I may be so bold, Stu, we can't afford not to.
Oh, my gosh. That's a brilliant thing to say. And you're going to continue to say it after I tell you the cost.
Yes.
$4 trillion.
Well, we can't afford not to.
Now,
what will it cost us if we don't?
$5 trillion, maybe?
No, the planet itself.
Okay.
So
I would assume it's more than $4 trillion.
It is.
I hope.
Yes.
Now, $4 trillion, this includes a new...
$4 trillion.
And remember, let's take the $4 trillion for what it is, which is his estimate of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Not a real estimate of the cost, but his
estimate.
So you
could probably figure double or triple that.
Right, exactly. A new carbon tax or fee. Okay, it could be a tax or a fee. Again, pro-choice. Tax or a fee.
I could pay either one.
Mm-hmm. This, again, is the moderate in the field. $15 per metric ton of CO2. He will reduce carbon emissions by 90% by 2050.
All right.
And now look, you might say, well, that doesn't sound all that moderate. However, Jay Inslee, Michael Bennett, Beto O'Rourke all have their own climate proposals. Beto O'Rourke is $5 trillion. So he's saved $1 trillion.
Wow. So he
is pretty impressive. He is the moderate.
Yeah.
He's only going to charge you $4 trillion for his climate plan and make you go to service to the government for a year or two. I mean, this is the moderate in the field.
It's almost like what Israel does. You have to have, you know, you're mandatory military when you get out of high school there. When you're 18, mm-hmm. I think from 18 to 20, you serve in the military, period.
Mm-hmm.
So that's essentially what we'd be doing here in the United States.
Except you wouldn't have any skills.
Right.
You'd just be like, I can theoretically raise awareness about sustainability.
And it doesn't have to be something super worthwhile like the military. It could be the climate... What do they call it?
The Climate Corps?
The Climate Corps.
Are you saying the Climate Corps is not
totally
worth it?
Worthless. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
completely,
wow.
Completely worthless.
But only in every way.
Yes, only
and that's
in
important
every single way.
For people to understand. It will
wow.
do nothing and accomplish nothing, but it will cost $4 trillion. So that's good.
Good luck, America.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Also joined by Jeff Fisher to chew the fat a little bit. He's got his own podcast that you could download at your leisure.
Every day, mm-hmm. Monday through Friday. Even sometimes I throw in a Saturday American Dream special.
No, you don't. That's too good to be true.
I know.
You mean you can get 6 days of Jeffy Fisher?
I know. And sometimes on Monday, you even get two podcasts.
Stop it.
Okay, so I mean, you're welcome because we do the talking series.
My beating heart.
I know.
Wow.
I know. Listen, you guys. You inspired me today.
Did we?
I didn't wake up today thinking that.
Oh no!
I'm gonna do this, but mm-hmm. you guys have inspired me. I'm trans.
Oh my gosh!
Oh,
you are.
I'm trans. You were born as a woman, like a biological woman.
I just want to come out and say that I'm part of the movement.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
No, I'm not. I wasn't really. But I just wanted to come out.
Oh wow!
Just wanted to come out and see if I could be part of the.
Okay. Well, that didn't last
union.
Long.
Yeah. No.
So okay. Glad you were able to get that off your chest, though, because it's probably been weighing down.
It has. It has. I feel so much better.
Just like the beauty queen, what's her face? Wasn't a beauty queen or was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, she's a model.
Yeah, she's a model. That's what it is.
Yeah, this is a story we did in hour one today.
Mm-hmm.
Her story was she is a model, said some things that were negative about. Were considered transphobic by some.
So she got fired.
She got fired. The next day, she decided to come out as trans. She's like, the reason I was saying this is because I was insecure with myself. I was actually trans.
And then the next day
came out and said, by the way, I'm not trans.
No.
I shouldn't have done that.
Now, see, I'm trans and I was insecure about being trans. That only works if you really are.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she should have stuck with it.
Yeah.
You got to continue with it.
Honestly, like, how would they even question it?
Yeah, I guess they couldn't.
Because they couldn't if she identifies that way.
Right. Well, some people did go back and look at, like, I guess,
I'm
photos
sure
of her as a kid, and she seemed very much like a girl. However, how dare you?
Right.
Right.
Like, who are you to presume?
Right. Yeah.
Who are you?
You bastard. I mean, maybe she was born as a biological girl.
Yeah.
And was dressed that way by her bastard parents.
Right.
Right.
But in reality, she identified that whole time as a man.
And they didn't have the openness or
the
tolerance
no.
to allow her to make that transition at such an age.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're too hung up on their own, you know, male, female, gender, transphobic ideas of the past.
So bad.
Maybe she broke free of all that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what
so
else
earlier
you
talked about Kathy Jew. You know, who the Michigan beauty queen who got the axe because of a couple of tweets that were horrific. You know,
they
were horrific. And one was actually just a reply to another tweet thread that mm-hmm. was horrible. So you can't be doing that anymore at all. And she said, I did interview. I heard Stu talk about it. I talked to her last week, beginning of last week, Monday or Tuesday. And she, I asked her if the Trump campaign had contacted her at all throughout this. And at that time she said, no, and I, you know, they probably won't. I'm just doing this on my own. 2 days later, she's working for the re-election campaign. They've reached out.
Really?
Oh, yeah, she's working for the re-election campaign. And the Trump campaign has already tweeted what a patriot she is. And she's speaking for American values, and she's part of it now. She's all part of the deal.
Wow.
So good for her. Mm-hmm. Good for her. You know, there's also, we get viral videos all the time in today's world. Mm-hmm. And you see them and you go, some of them are really cool. Some of them are scary. Some of them are funny. And then you get the ones where you watch and you go, oh my gosh. And then you stop and look back and go, wait. Like this video of this this guy that finds a baby alligator.
Crikey. Crocodile Dundee.
If you're listening, he's got a little baby alligator. And the guy is filming him. He's talking about the baby alligator. And then coming up behind him is the mama gator.
Crikey.
Oh, yeah.
Crocodile Dundee.
And they keep showing this mama gator coming up behind him and getting closer. And then they just stop. And then it just stops. And you'll see, you know, it shows the split screen of the mama gator come up on him. And, you know, the mama heard the baby crying. And it's wonderful. No way that's real, right? There's no way that's real. The guy filming it isn't in any kind of mode of trying to get out of there.
Well, he hasn't noticed
him.
That would be the pitch, I think, of the viral video, right? He hasn't noticed it yet.
Okay. I'm just saying it's been already.
So you don't. That's
hundreds
just your
of
speculation.
Thousands. It will come out.
Okay.
I guarantee it will come out.
Did anything come out?
Guarantee me.
I guarantee.
Do I get my money back?
Yes, you do. 100%.
Okay. I want to know.
You get your video view back.
Okay.
I want to know, Jeffy, you would be the one who knows this. Has the raw chicken meat that crawls off the plate been approved?
No, it has not.
It has not.
Not that I'm aware of.
As far as I understand, it's
not
still
that
real.
I'm aware of.
I showed that to my wife the other day. Oh, that's not real.
I know.
Well, nobody said it isn't.
It's not real. It just can't be.
Well, yeah, it's the nerve
ending. No, nerve endings are alive at that point.
Right. Okay.
They are saying they think it was not a chicken, but it was a frog. It was frog meat.
Okay.
Which happens. That's what they said.
That was a weird bone for a frog.
It was. It was really creepy. And this is like apparently, whether this video is real or not, and it does. Everyone's assuming at least, and the reporting is that it is actually real video.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not. It's not something that it hasn't happened before. Right?
Right?
It's something that has happened.
That will happen on occasion if the meat. Is freshly cut.
Right. If you haven't seen the video, basically, if you go to a grocery store and you get a raw chicken, it looks kind of like that. You know what I mean? It's sitting on a plate about to be cooked, and it crawls off the plate.
It's at one of those restaurants where they cook the meal in front of you, it looks like.
Isn't that what it looks like?
Benihana kind of place or whatever. But as my wife pointed out, well, hasn't the chicken been defeathered? The head's been cut off. They've done a lot of dressing to it. They've cut it up like this. Yeah. And then it comes to your table and it's still fresh like that.
Weird.
I don't know. But
they skinned the animal. By the way, I think it was a frog and not a chicken, which would explain the feather thing.
There's not as many feathers on frogs.
There's less feathers on frogs than you'd expect.
Depends on where you get them.
Right, that's true.
Depends on where you get them. You can get the feathered frogs.
Fair.
I mean, that is a big frog if that's a frog.
Yeah, it is. Holy cow.
The bone that the meat comes on is like 18 inches.
No.
It has to be. Well, maybe 12. Maybe it's a foot long.
Are you a fisherman now? I caught the fish. It was this big. Also, I'm so sick of living here in the United States. I'm sick of hearing about Baltimore and being I believe a quote from Pat Gray and Pat Gray Unleashed was Baltimore was a Democratic progressive hellhole.
Yes.
I believe was the quote.
Yes. Because of 70 years of Democrat leadership led them right into that hellhole.
It's time for a change. And the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia agrees, which is why he's going to be building the $500 billion mega city in the middle of the desert, which I'm looking forward to moving to. I don't know about you.
$500 billion mega city.
You heard about this city?
Yeah.
33 times the size of New York City. All right. It's going to have.
Wait, 33 times?
That's what it says here. 33 times the size of New York City.
Oh, my gosh. All right?
You're going to have flying taxis. a giant artificial moon that will be illuminated every evening, state-of-the-art security and surveillance system, which, you know, I'm a fan of course. You'll use drones, security cameras, facial recognition technology to track everybody, cloud seeding technology to make artificial clouds.
They want rain in the desert where it doesn't rain very often.
School classes taught by holographic teachers. Leading education on the planet. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a Jurassic Park-like island filled with robotic dinosaurs to entertain residents and visitors.
Come on.
A dining scene, the highest rate of Michelin-starred restaurants, which I'm not sure why you'd want to eat tires even in the desert, but okay. And be done by 2030. Good luck. Good luck. And I would have to say that 500... I think he's going to spend a little bit more.
I definitely want to visit. I'd want to see that if they can pull it off.
Oh, my gosh.
Can they build a $500 billion city before we die? Is that possible?
I think
that's past our lifetime, I feel like. And also the princes.
Well, they said 2030 is the target date.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so. I don't know. I think it'd be fun to... Fun to go to?
It would. Yeah, no, it sure seems would. Amazing. Why do you want a giant light-up moon?
I'm not sure. We do have an actual moon.
Yeah.
That you could probably see from where you are.
But not every night.
Yeah,
some nights, some nights there's clouds in front of
it. Well, that's true.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.